7 best of 7, President's Trophy winning Washington Capitals, defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. Williams dealt it side of the net. Work back on by Kuznetsov. Sent to the back. Now Shattenkirk fires. Hit him. Post. And it's turned back over to Gensel. Here's Gensel. Beating one across. Score! It's Brian Rust. And it's 1-0. Once but twice, reached in with the stick. Meanwhile, this comes over. Schmidt a shot. Rebound is sent wide of the vacant net by Oshie. How are these pucks not going in for the Capitals? And turnover again. Hornquist back in. Score! Patrick Hornquist off a turnover, and it's 2-0.
Shattenkirk to Ovechkin. He makes a soft play, doesn't get the puck out.
2 seconds and one, and the defending champions are going to defend still. They're halfway there. Marc-Andre Fleury registers a shutout, stopping 29 of 29. And the Washington Capitals faced with the bitter disappointment yet again of having been eliminated by the Penguins in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Just get behind us, please. That's all I ask. We're the ones playing.
From BBG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, round 2, game 6, Capitals and Penguins.
The Lord of the Black Land, come forth. Let justice be done upon it.
It's time, the game is 1-1.
Yes, that concludes negotiations.
2 seconds and one. They're going to overtime.
My brother!
I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship. But it is not this day. An hour of wolves and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight!
Kuznetsov! He gets it on to Kuznetsov!
Kuznetsov's shot.
He's getting coming down the middle. A shot.
He's
got it. That's the interview. Evgeny Kuznetsov. The Penguins sont éliminés.
And is it in? It is. Kuznetsov.
And it comes in over. He scores. He scores. Evgeny Kuznetsov wins it for Washington. It's off to the third round. The Demons have been exercised. Good morning. Good afternoon.
The defending champs are defending no more.
What a move. What a great play. Kuznetsov, a huge goal in the history of the Caps.
Kenny, they slayed the Penguins. All of the heartache. All of the demons. The two-time defending champions are going home. And the Capitals are moving on for the first time in 20 years.
Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
tonight, number 21, Devin Malone.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you from the digs at in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And with me, as always, is the beautiful, wonderful co-host of mine. You know her well, Fairfax County's finest, Miss Anna Knox.
That gets me every time. But I'm thinking now that we've made it into the third round, we may have to change the intro a little bit.
Maybe. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Work, bitch. Kidding.
You're still pushing for that. Well, speaking of which, I hope everybody listening liked that audio at the beginning. I'm afraid I had to spend a bit of the last bit, as it were, of the show's petty cash to put that together, but hope you all enjoyed that, of course. And as Anna already mentioned, yes, at the time of this recording, which is 7 p.m. Eastern, on the day of May the 8th, 2018... as we are speaking to you now, the Washington Capitals have a date, not set in stone yet, but have a date in the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yes. Yeah, yes. The Stanley Cup is two rounds away, and the Washington Capitals will be playing for the Prince of Wales Trophy.
There you go. There is a schedule out.
Oh, there is.
There is.
See, I hadn't seen one.
Okay. Yeah. No, there is one. Well, although it's kind of funny because I think I saw that the first game was going to be Friday at 8, and the other schedule showed that it was Sunday at 8. So, either way, it's coming up. It's 2 in Tampa, 2 here. You know, same old, same old.
Well, Well, let me jump over real quick to NHL.com and see what they have posted for a schedule. Okay, of course, the next game is going to be Thursday, May the 10th, which is, of course, Game 7 of the Western Conference
right.
Semi, with Winnipeg and
Jets Preds
at Smashville.
Yep.
8 o'clock Eastern puck drop.
Yes.
Game, yeah, that's going to be a hell of a game. I highly encourage weathering through NBC's crappy coverage to just go ahead and watch it.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, so the next scheduled game they have is Friday the 11th.
Okay. At 8, right?
And that was, yes, that is an 8 o'clock puck drop on NBCSN.
Right. Does that mean that I have to, like, do another series of Mike Milbury?
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm tempted to go out and get one, but apparently what you can do is get yourself an Amazon Echo. Or no, not an Echo. The Amazon Alexa skill.
Right, but I have one of those.
Right, and you can tell it to sync up the Washington Capitals radio play-by-play.
Oh.
By Mr. John Walton himself.
Who's amazing.
Who is amazing, whom you heard in that audio clip. So, yes, there is a way to do that, fortunately. And he even, I love him. He even put out a Twitter saying, turn them down, turn this up, turn us up. Go to your Amazon, tell Alexa to do Washington Capitals skill and listen to us call the game.
Yeah, I'm going to be all over that because I have been watching it muted for the last couple of games. And then when I turn it on, I'm like, oh, Mike, I just hate you.
And it just,
and
yeah.
I just, I do. I really do.
I don't know. And I wanna still like Doc Emmerich because I actually grew up with him sort of, but I think he's gotten worse, unfortunately, over the years, and I think he's letting the corporate heads do some of his talking for him, and I don't know. It just doesn't sound like what I was used to, but Caps fans, those of you who are a bit more tech savvy than others and have a bit of the green more than others, if you've got that at your disposal, I highly suggest and recommend that. Because we all know what the Penn BC boys are like.
Yeah, and it was just blah, you know. And that's the stuff I can't stand, and I've said it before. If you're going to be a sportscaster, a sports announcer, sports commentator, whatever it is, you cannot be biased towards a team or, you know, whatever it is. And I think you have to be kidding me that not only did we have to listen to, within the 80 games, too many of them, you know, commentating for Pittsburgh and whatnot. Give me a break. I mean, it's like no one could be happy. No, it was just, I mean, it was a forced joy. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff I can't stand.
And did you hear Pierre towards the end start to make excuses for the team?
Of course.
Oh my God. Oh, this is the two-time defending Stanley Cup team, but they're not the same team. They're missing this guy and that guy, and Nick Bonino's not on there, and Trevor Daly's not on there, and they're missing. Yeah. They're not the same team anymore.
Right, and we didn't have Backstrom, and we didn't have Wilson.
Yeah, we didn't have Backstrom or Wilson. We had five freaking rookies. You didn't hear anybody making excuses on our end.
No.
Yeah, we had
one of our top line.
Two top line forwards, two marquee level forwards, top level forwards, missing.
Yep.
Missing from the lineup. And they still pulled it off. How's that for energy?
So awesome.
So I was getting the vibe that some of you listening might be like, well, they finally vanquished the demon now. They ought to be more excited. Oh, trust me. We're excited. We just spent a whole lot of our energy last night. If you saw my live cast, that is, anyway. Anna, my apologies, by the way. I couldn't get you on. I really wanted to.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I think by then I was probably had puffy eyes from tears of joy. I got quite emotional last night. Just so freaking proud.
You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Tears of joy. Please do not tell me ever again that DC sports fans are not passionate. Please, please don't ever tell me that. Please don't say that again.
Yeah, no, I was, I just got overwhelmed and just felt like I don't care what happens, honestly, from this point on. The fact that they're there, the fact that we still, you know, are going to support them and rock the red and whatever else, it was, you know, the fact that Cousy did it, God, it was awesome.
Spoiler
alert.
The
fact that Ovechkin had that, like, literally had that sigh of relief. And it was brilliant. You know, I don't care if the camera caught him and it was like, thank you, God. And then they all came together at the end, and I thought, you know what, God damn, like, that's exactly what it's supposed to be like. Like, and the fact that it was in Pittsburgh and they won, sweet, but it would have been better if it was here, I don't care. They won, they deserved it, move it on.
Absolutely. So before we do move on to the brief recap, and then the preview of the next round. Just want to say something real quick here about the Penguins fans. It's not what you think. Just a little inside thing there. Look, the Penguins were a very worthy opponent. But I want the team and the fans to know something here. They did something in this round that is unbecoming of a champion, unbecoming of a competitor, unbecoming of a true set of warriors and athletes. They did something that I thought was distasteful, the organization did, and that's deliberately and blatantly lobbied the league to suspend a player. You don't do that.
Right.
The classy thing to do is to say, well, I disagreed with that play, but I'm going to let the league handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much exactly what Barry Trotz and most other coaches around the league pretty much say when you have something like that. Or they at least say, well, hey, I didn't see it. I'm not going to comment on it. You know, have the dignity, have the class to at least be somewhat graceful about it. You know, have some class instead of saying, well, I think the league should do this. That's not your place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, unfortunately, as great as Sidney Crosby is, as many championships as that team has won, I think, unfortunately, this go-around, because of that, because of the fact that they couldn't lose with dignity or class, they have forever tarnished their reputation as nothing more than a bunch of whiners. And
oh, absolutely.
The rest of the league, the rest of the league's fans, if they didn't know it before, they didn't want to come to terms with it before, they now have. They have now seen what this team does and how it handles adverse situations that don't go their way. And so, unfortunately, yes, while Pittsburgh, you were a worthy opponent, I can't give you props because of that, because you didn't lose with class and dignity the way all the other teams that you defeated did over the years. So, I'm sorry, but
I wouldn't apologize at all, because I will say, when you and I did the podcast when they had the series against Columbus, and it, you know, again, up and down, you know, we weren't sure, you know, it was a good game, bad game. Everything just seemed a little bit like, okay, what's going on? Are we going to do this or not? And at the end, when, you know, we were able to close out that series, the players acknowledged each other with such admiration and sportsmanship and class across the board, both teams. It was a true, like, hey, when we're on the ice, I may absolutely freaking hate you and come after you. And off the ice, I admire you as a player, you know, whatever it is. And I felt like when they had their, you know, the very end kind of handshake thing, it was genuine. It was good. It was like how it was supposed to be. Like how I would want, you know, my students or my kids to look at something and say, listen, they fought this game for 60 minutes, hardcore, fighting, doing what they can. But in the end, they were able to act, you know, appropriately and with class. And to see them go and, you know, shake hands with the Penguins at the end, I didn't feel that. And you know what, hey, you're going to lose games in life. You're going to lose things in life, and it sucks. But you have to find a way to rise up from that and be the better person, or, you know, congratulate your opponent. I mean, give me a break. You're a Pittsburgh Penguin. You've got the cup however many times, and you're going up the team that you think you're just going to get, and you didn't. So you know what? Be like, hey, hell yeah, maybe it's your year. Good luck. You know, I'm heading off to the Bahamas or Turks and Caicos, because my hockey season's over till for the next couple months. But I felt like it was just, I didn't care for it. And to sit there and justify, you know, calling the penalty, getting Wilson out of there, wanting to get another person out, and and so on and so on was so incredibly frustrating. It was distasteful. It was classless. And it just sort of solidified why people are frustrated with that team in general.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree. And, you know, I didn't want to go on for too long about it because, again, like I said in the live post last night, I didn't want to come off as a sore winner. But, hey, you know, we gotta say what's said. And I'll end with this note. I got a bit of advice. Sidney Crosby, whenever you hit a certain stretch of fairway, I think a 7-iron will be your best bet.
Yeah, right.
So,
okay.
Okay,
moving on,
most definitely. Speaking of moving on, did you catch the front page of the Washington Post? Or was it, I don't know if it was the front page of the Post or at least the front page of the sports section. Ought to have been the front page of the Post.
Right.
But, yeah, just absolutely beautiful. Beautiful thing to see.
That was it. And, oh my gosh, like, I will say that one of the best, so it's like, so you have a Ovechkin, like, fuck yeah, sigh of relief. Like, yes, we finally did it. They all come together at the end. But I will say that one playback of, you can see the players, you know, they're all on, you know, sitting down. But like, oh, my God, you know, we're in overtime and let's close it out. And when Kuzi scores, Barry Trotz, his reaction was absolutely priceless. And that's why I think, you know, and I don't know if this is a segue or not, but you said you wanted to maybe talk about Trotz at some point. His reaction was so genuine and so true. And I don't think it had anything to do with like, oh, thank God I've got to, you know, they're going to sign me again. No, he put heart and soul into this team this year. And, you know, thrown under the bus and the fans backed away. And, you know, that was disappointing. And his reaction was like, yes, like, my boys did it.
Well,
you know,
right.
Kind of
so, well, that's just it. I don't think he cares what happens.
No.
That's the hallmark of this team. I don't think they give a damn. They're not thinking about day after tomorrow. They are thinking
right.
about what is in front of them.
Right.
They are not thinking like some, unfortunately, of our fellow fans did, which is to, well, what's going to happen with this guy in the offseason? What's right. going to happen with Holtby? What's going to happen with this guy? How come we're not playing that guy? Not the task at hand, ladies and gentlemen. Task at hand.
Right.
And by the way, okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay? They have won. Look. I will be the first to stand up and say, yes, this feels
Finland
great. I will say it again. This feels
Finland
great. Okay? Right up there with my second marriage, my child being born, etc., etc., the highest of highs. Yes, I will put this up there. But let's get real. They haven't won anything yet. I mean, is there a trophy for winning the playoff division championship? No. They might get a banner out of this. Maybe. But when it comes down to it, like Coach Trotz said, they're halfway there. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Coach Trotz, yes, we will give him some credit here. Because... And I realize some of the more snarkier types out there might turn and say, well, he really didn't have much choice. But, no, maybe he didn't have much choice with Burakovsky and Backstrom and Wilson all out to turn to the younger folk, that being Travis Boyd and Nathan Walker. Did anyone else notice during the game, at least when I looked a lot closer, it just seemed like every third shift, that fourth line was out there.
Yeah.
And guess who scored the opening goal? And I will be the first to say, I have given this guy a lot of grief. I have given this guy a lot of crap and have wondered all year long why they even bothered signing this guy. Well, he showed why he earned a spot on the roster, why he earned a contract. And that's Mr. French himself, Alex Chason. And because we're all in a good mood and I don't want to spoil it, I will not do the traditional.
You can only because it's expected. And I'm in a good mood, too, and I'm just going to roll with it.
Well, I don't know what happened.
Okay, stop. Never mind. Stop.
The Australian guy.
No,
the Australian guy, he get the puck, and I shoot the puck, and I score.
Mm-mm.
Can you deal with that?
I just can't. I thought I could, and, you know, like, all day, the stuff that I deal with in my job is, you know, petty.
Who, boy?
Gossip and I'm glad you mentioned
that. I hope every one of you Caps fans working out there, I hope you all took this special occasion to call up your boss and tell them to go fuck themselves really hard with a blunt instrument in whatever orifice they choose. I really, really hope you all did that, because if there ever was a time for that, this is it. I'll just say that much.
Well, I don't. Yeah.
Were I not off anyway, I might have said something like that to my people, but yeah. We'll let that go.
Yeah, I wasn't there yet. I was more of the having to deal with fourth grade drama and in my head being like, really? This is what you're crying about? I could give you something to cry about. But I was like, oh my God. So yeah, so just crazy. But all right, so I don't mean to get us off track again.
No, it's fine.
But yes, Chason, I know. But you know what, I will say this in getting that into like pseudo podcast mode. I will say that he's one that I wasn't crazy about, and then he kind of redeemed himself, and then I was like, not so much. Like, I just wasn't feeling Chason. There was no love, and he's coming around. I don't know what it is that I need him to do, but I feel like I'm so focused on a couple other players that he's not quite there for me yet. But I was super proud of his goal last night. So,
absolutely, and I will agree with that. But yesterday morning, and I mentioned this on the live post last night, but yesterday morning I was going over the entire roster, top to bottom, as far as who had played in the playoffs, and I saw his name at the very bottom of the rankings, because in 11 games, not only had he not registered a point, but overall he was a minus one. And that's when I said out loud, why is this guy even taking up a roster spot? Why is this guy even on the team? And again, he proved it, because the one time he comes through is the one time that he shows why he's there. The one time that helps put the knife in the back of the other team, as it were.
Right.
Sorry if that's a little too graphic a description.
It's not.
But
I mean, it's hockey, who cares? But really, it comes down to, is the potential there? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is it consistent? Not yet. But I'm not saying that he's not going to turn it around. I'm not saying that this time next year we're going to be, you know, praising him. I just think it's not consistent yet. And we're getting there. We're getting there.
Well,
Chason has, you know, he's, yeah.
We're only halfway through there. I'm sure there will be other opportunities when necessary for him and the fourth line to shine. as it were.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure.
Well, there's just no option after that. Like, if you're not going to do it now in the NHL playoffs, regardless of what year you have been playing, if you're not giving your team and your position absolute, you know, more than 100% and giving it your all and, you know, staying focused and your head's in the game and on and on and on, then you shouldn't be playing. So prove yourself. You know, ride or die at this point. That's how I see it. There's no excuses. I don't want to hear about jitters. I don't want to hear about anything because you kind of got that out of Columbus. You definitely had to have gotten it out in Pittsburgh. Bring it on, Tampa. We've got this. Head in the game. You know, you're there for a reason. Prove it.
Absolutely. And so, again, as to the option of Coach Trotz going with the kids, let's check out the time on ice for those kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Nathan Walker's fourth shift where he dug the puck out of the corner, got it over to Chase on for said goal. And let's see. So he ends up taking, if I'm reading this right, okay, so it's not as much time as I thought, but it's still high on the high end for an average fourth liner. He ends up with 8 minutes and 29 seconds of ice time, some of which...
Is this Chase on or
this
Walker?
Is Walker? This is Walker.
Okay, okay. Well, considering we haven't heard about him in months and months and months, I'll take anything I got, and you know what? He proved himself.
Yeah, the NBC Washington guys mentioned this quite a bit. Here is a guy who was basically exiled on another team, and then buried in the Hershey lineup. And, you know, they lay an egg and they don't make the playoffs. So he comes up as a black ace.
Right.
That's hockey terminology for you non-hockey folk. Which means he rides the bench and he's basically a glorified spare.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't figure on seeing any ice time. But like Coach Trotz said... Even though he was drowning in a whole lot of liquid, we're having way too much fun with this.
I was gonna say I'm like waiting for,
But he's
drowning. Go ahead.
Drowning in the system and not getting a chance, and then it's time for next man up, as Coach Trotz mentioned. And, he had his moment. Now, will he play going forward? It remains to be seen, but it's nice to know that he can be counted on when the moment calls for it. So let's jump over to, another one of the young ones, Mr. Travis Boyd, who played on the third line,
mm-hmm.
I believe. Yes, he centered the third line. He ends up with 12 minutes and 12 seconds. Of total ice time. Not too bad. Not very flashy, his game, but he got it done where it counted the most along the boards and made himself an asset as far as keeping the puck out of the middle. It's a very strong game by him. And then let's go over to another member of the fourth line, Alex Chiasson, who ends up getting 9 minutes and 27 seconds. One shift in OT. 1:48 shift in OT, which means he was trusted with the responsibility of, at the very least, providing energy in mm-hmm. a critical situation. So hard to throw out that criticism where you say, well, Trotz doesn't trust spreading out the ice time, trusts his veterans way too much. Well, sorry, but that proved otherwise.
Right. Well, and I think in the beginning of the season, And people were like, oh, you know, we've got this guy, we want to put him out there, and he's not getting enough ice time, he's not getting enough this, he's not getting enough that. Right. But here's the coach who's been doing this for a hell of a longer than, I don't know, the rest of us. He may know a little bit more about the sport and the psychology and whatnot behind it more than we do. So you play your players for a short period of time to get the jitters out, to get them comfortable in their position, to get them ready for when it is time for them to go in, if it's regardless, if it's due to an injury or if it's due to a who knows what, he just feels like putting them in. They are going to not only be physically ready, but they are going to be mentally ready. So you give them a little bit, and then you take it back, and you give them a little bit of time. It's, you know, you just don't know. And you also don't know how the players are going to react. You know, it's a lot to take in. You're going up against some players who've been doing this forever, and they're taller than you, they're, you know, thicker than you, they're faster than you. And you got to come out there and prove yourself. Not everyone is ready to go out there and just, you know, completely kick ass, at the first puck drop. So I think he had a very, very wise way of going about things this season. And people did not give Barry Trotz enough credit, because look at what happened. You know, Nathan Walker was able to come in. He was cool. He was confident. He was fast. And he did what was needed. And then his time was up. Bravo. You know?
Exactly.
It's just, and so that's how I feel. So I've been a, you know, Trot supporter from the beginning. And I've always been, you know, a little snarky, I guess, when it comes to coaches, having been one. But I felt like he has got the best interest of the Washington Capitals in his, like, that's it for him. He's not listening to the media. He's not listening to the fans. He's not listening to, you know, GM stuff and whatnot. No, he knows what is best for his players because he knows his players. And that says so much to me.
And bottom line, with the roster that he had, and trust me, I was reading, I think we both were, but I was reading the Facebook posts and the Twitter posts. A lot of you out there, you know who you are, were doing the woe is me, oh my God, we've got 5 rookies in the lineup. How in the hell are they going to stand up to a 2-time defending Stanley Cup championship team? Well, you saw for yourself. I think they acquitted themselves pretty damn well.
Exactly.
And so I will admit there were times this year where I was skeptical at best about some of Coach Trotz's decisions, but when it's all said and done, you can't argue with the result. And
right.
And we all saw what happened. So I would like to take this time, you know, at the Power Play Point podcast, whatever happens after this year, Coach Trotz, we salute you, and I'd like to say you've done a hell of a job this year.
Absolutely.
So, now, a lot was made of the Caps chasing or trying to beat back or exercising demons, chasing ghosts and whatnot. And being a student of history, not many, I would say, I mean, I don't want to sound like an elitist, but not many, besides myself, I feel like, knows what that's all about, at least with this team. I don't want to date myself, but I have been pretty much following the exploits of this team since 1977, which was the third year of their existence. And for anybody that is that gall-darn curious, I'll save you the trouble. I'm 44.
Old.
But ever since then, I have followed what this team has done. I have followed them not since the awful year of 867-5, their first season, but some pretty lean years. And my very first memory of the team is being at a live game at the old Cap Center and watching the then captain, Ivan LeBray, wearing number 7, who was serving a penalty, literally fly out of the penalty box and join the rush, and then diving to block a shot. That is my first Capitals memory. So from there till now, I have been a loyal supporter of this team. So I have something to say here about those demons, and as John Walton said, that they were exercised. This is the story of how our Washington Capitals would go on to win this series. Because in years past, they would, in the Rock the Red era, as it were, as some would call it, the Ovechkin era, and when Bruce Boudreau took over the team in the early 2010s, everybody thought this team was going to win the Cup right then and there, because they relied on talent to just simply outscore the opposition by brute force. Well, that didn't work. And then a year later, they would rely on talent at both ends of the ice. Well, that didn't work. And then they got bigger and stronger and more skilled on both ends. They added people like Mike Green and John Carlson. And then they decided to rely even upon even more talent in all facets of the game. They had the two goalies come up, the two high-ranking draft picks. That didn't work. And so by and by, more time passes. People start wondering what it's going to take because here is this team with all this talent, and they don't get anywhere. So a lot of questions are being asked. And all the while, there's a captain who has this whole time led his team, done everything he can, sacrificed everything, played his hardest. But the results don't come. And now a lot of years are on him, as it is now 2018. He's still captain, and he still has a lot of promise. But he has so many years on him, so much so that now his beard is gray. He has flecks of gray in his ear, in his hair. And his years are starting to show. And now the questions start coming even more and louder. When's he going to win something? Now he's leading a team that's nicked up and has a lot of injuries. Yes, some talent is there, but not like it was before. And nobody is giving this team a chance to go up against the two-time winners of the previous year. Twice you've lost to them. Oh, what do you expect? The same thing is going to happen. Well, they go out there. And what they did was they didn't try to outscore them by brute force in years before. They didn't try to out-hit them, necessarily, except when it was needed. They didn't even try to out-chance them. But what they did was eventually to outwork them. They took the best that the Penguins had offered in every single facet of the game and came back stronger. They fought back. They counterattacked. Now, I want to take this opportunity to point out something here, because it's important. Because it's a key observation. But Mrs. Blue Liner and I were watching the game on our couch last night. And every 2 minutes, she made a point of turning to me and saying, "Hey, they're not giving up. They're still fighting. They're not sitting back." And every single time they counterpunched one more time than what the Penguins dished out at them, is what made the difference. So finally, they did something better, and when it mattered the most, was to outwork this team. And folks, this is why the league hands out an award to an individual player that best exemplifies certain qualities: perseverance, dedication, and sportsmanship. To one player. Well, if it could be handed out to a whole team, I would say it's this team, because that's what they proved. And that's why hockey is so important. That's why we do this podcast, because it's not just about hockey, the things we see on the screen or in front of our seats ultimately that have to do with how you deal with life. You win by getting up one more time than you're knocked down. That is what our Washington Capitals proved last night. Now, they may be only halfway through the journey, but that is how you overcome. And if anything else, I hope that you out there listening take heart this lesson, that in our own crazy-ass way, Anna and I have tried to present to you, and why we believe in this team so much. So, I want to thank everybody who's indulged me these last 3 minutes or so, but I just feel like the need to say that, because all of the years, I'm not here to thumb my nose, but all of the years that people would say that Alex Ovechkin is a shitty captain, can't win, this team's going to go nowhere, they're choke artists, I'm here to say it's not true.
Absolutely. Bravo. You nailed it.
Well, it's enough cornball for a whole movie theater to have 6 shows, I guess. So.
No. It's a passionate fan speech, and everyone, you know, sometimes you just need to sit back and listen to inspirational words to say, you know what, damn right. You know, whether this team, whether people want to say it's their time or they deserve it or it's this or that, no, they have earned it.
And look, and I'm not here.
Whatever happens after today, honestly, of course, we all care because we're all sports fans.
Right.
But bottom line is they proved something this year that they haven't been able to do in the past. And regardless, win, lose, cup or not, whatever the outcome is, I couldn't be prouder of this team. And I think Alex Ovechkin is one athlete that will go down in history as just an absolute phenomenal person, leader, whatnot, for everything that, you know, everything that he did. His, you know, yes, his statistics and whatever else, but his leadership role has been amazing, and his skill, and his this and his that. So I feel good to say, like, listen, we don't have the dirty players. We don't have the Marchands. It's like, how embarrassing for the Bruins that they really gave it their all this season, and they were a damn good team, but everything is overshadowed by Marchand's licking. I mean, really, gross. And that's all anybody wants to talk about. No one wants to talk about Tuukka Rask. No one wants to talk about Bergeron. They all just want to talk about this guy who thinks it's okay to lick the opponent's face. Gross. I want to be able to say, you know what? Our team had vet players that kicked ass, and we had new players that I can't even call them rookies anymore because they've earned a different name, that have really just stepped up, and they have, you know, merged together to become this amazing team and they're classy. And to me, whatever happens after last night, I'm just proud to be a Caps fan.
And I am too. And I don't want to make it sound like I and my fellow fans that have been following this team either from the very beginning or for several decades have a corner on the market or a special place. No, that's not true. Every fan, even if you followed from the beginning of this season, is a legitimate fan, if you believe.
Right. You've been a fan forever, since the beginning. I didn't grow up here. So my, you know, was I exposed to hockey at a young age? Yeah, but Winnipeg Jets. And it's like, oh, my God. But this sport in general, but when you are an athlete and you are a coach and you are these other, all these other things, and you can appreciate a team for who they are, for the players, for the fans, for whatever else, that means so much. So am I on the newer end of being a Caps fan? Absolutely. And I will never apologize for it. I didn't move to the DC area until 2005. But you know what? When you move to an area like this and they're like, oh, hey, we just signed this person, this Alex Ovechkin. It's pretty amazing to follow someone's career and see where we're at right now. So I think it's – so thank you for saying that, Gil, because, you know, it's a fan's a fan regardless. And as long as you're, you know, you're not a Fairweather fan, bring it on. We're all good.
You know, I just want, I speaking of the fans, and there are some that have suffered a long time, and there's others, maybe not so much, but have suffered just as greatly. And I am proud to say that I have gotten to know some really great people, as I've mentioned in the recent past. And I just... because I am so awful with names, unfortunately, I tend to forget people. So I think it's easier for me to name entire groups, especially Facebook groups. So I want to take this opportunity to do a roll call of sorts to them. And I will point out some individuals who do stand out. Going to start out, of course, with the True Caps Fans Room. Chris Levesque and his brother Steven, Tony Olcott, Bernie Deal, of course, Bernie and Ron Deal. Just to mention a few names from there. I'm pretty sure Robin Unzicker posts there once in a while as well. So just want to mention them and thank them very much for... I think spreading the fellowship that is the Caps fan base, a newer group. Well, I don't know if they're newer, but this group came onto my radar this year. That's the diehard Caps fans. There's another group led by a great person named Sonia Kendall, who I just found out has tickets to Game 1 in Tampa and is going to brave that. But I'd like to take this opportunity to thank her and all of the individuals of that group. And that's, the Washington Capitals hockey fans. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Nova Caps fans group. Don't want to forget that Northern Virginia is probably one of the most strongest parts of the fan base. Of course, that's where the Kettler Iceplex calls its home. Is
well, and me too.
And that's part of the plan. And of course, you know, representing
Northern Virginia.
The co-host here. And
I'm just kidding.
That's kind of one of a bazillion reasons why I reached out to you, because I wanted to show unity. Across not only personality types, gender, other stereotypes, but region as well. Because, I mean, if a person from Maryland and a person from Northern Virginia can get along and talk Caps hockey, any two people can, I would think. Last and certainly not least, the Sports on the Hill podcast. I want to take time and mention them, Robbie Gross and Carol Porter III. This is their enterprise. This is their baby. And, of course, last night they actually had their 100th episode, which, of course, Anna was a part of.
I was. Good for them.
Yep, in our continuing partnership with that show. And wish them continued success in their endeavors, but yeah, they've also been there as far as spreading the gospel, as it is, of Caps fandom and Caps hockey. And I'm sure there are others out there. I think there's one more I'd like to mention. I think that's the Caps 365. That's Billy Lang's group. Mentioned him before. Mm-hmm. He does those beautiful graphical edits.
Absolutely.
You probably have seen them before. If you haven't, you're missing something. You're missing something really special. That man has a talent. But yeah, if I'm missing anybody, if I'm missing any major group, I do apologize. But I just wanted to take a moment and mention those groups specifically here, because in that moment in time, and I'm trying not to be sloppy sentimental about this, but in that moment in time where everything stopped and Evgeny Kuznetsov did what he does best and put the puck between Matt Murray's legs and into the net and over the goal line and put the dagger into the heart of the ghost of playoffs past, I think all Caps fans everywhere, no matter what, were all one. We're all joined together. We became one in that moment in time. I'd like to take this opportunity to at least mention those people that I've come in direct contact with, had the pleasure of doing that over the course of this season, and I really hope that this is just something of a beginning. No matter what results of this playoff year, and as I like to say all the time, come what Alan may, I'm glad to know each and every one of you. That's what I wanted to say about that.
Well, I think we may just need to end it on that.
Well,
right?
We ought to, but again, I don't want to make it sound like we're completely satisfied with just getting this far, because again, we're only halfway. So I think we owe it to the fans to at least do something of a preview of the third round. It's going to be tough. Tampa's been one of the best teams in the league.
Right.
And there's a lot of other fans out there that want to write us off already in that they think it's going to be a sweep. But I really think the momentum's on our side. I think out of the four, and I'm not discounting Marc-Andre Fleury, but out of the four, I think right now we have the hottest goalie in the league and in the playoffs right now. And as one that has seen that, you can ride a hot goalie pretty damn far in the playoffs. And I hope so. I don't see him cooling off.
No, I think whatever, if we're going to continue with the theme of what we were talking about before, other perceptions, whatever demons Braden Holtby had, was he able to just, slay that during this last series? And hats off to him. I super, super, super admire that. And I hope it continues. I know he can do it. But again, it's also mental for him. We all know his physical ability and his skills ability is there. He just has to be in the right mindset to play, because, you know, it's yes, Grubauer is there, and yes, he could do well, but I think everyone at this point is like, but Holtby could do better. Okay, well then, you know, well, get ready to...
And he proved it.
Absolutely.
And he proved it.
And, you know, and I don't think that, again, and I said this before, you have two absolutely talented, absolutely athletic, phenomenal goalies. They're not arguing with each other. They support each other like brothers and, you know, and players and whatever else, but there's a mutual respect there. And so if Holtby can do this physically and mentally, you know Grubauer has the support. And so there's no reason why anybody else should doubt it. So I'm on board. And if, God forbid, anything was to happen and Grubauer had to step in, you know that Holpe would give him 100% support. So I think that that's what makes this team so great. There's no rival. But I do feel like now that we've come so far, that Holpe just would love nothing more than to just take it as far as he could.
And I think he will do everything in his power and ability to do just that. And ladies and gentlemen, not to cast even more aspersions, as it were, but guess what? You talked about history and demons. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some unfinished business with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Because in the early years of the Ted Leonsis era, there was a series that we had against them, and it was the first or second year that they had Jaromir Jagr, of all people, still in his prime on the team, and that was another year where they thought they would at least get past that round, and they didn't. And then there was another series against them in the second round. And I think, if I remember right, it was probably Bruce Boudreau's last playoff series as Caps coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they were swept.
Right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this team has never won a playoff series against Tampa. And it is time. So there's some unfinished business. There's a chip on our shoulder that we're going to dare the opposition to knock off. It's got to be done, and it can be done. We all know what the others are saying, and I think we proved that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what gets thrown at us. That this team will get up from being knocked down every single time.
Yep. And we have to be fans 60 minutes. Players have to play 60 minutes. And that's it. No excuses. No BSing. No hesitation. No hesitation. Forward. You've got this. No excuses. That's it.
Absolutely. And so I think this is a good place to stop. Sorry this ran on a bit long, but I mean, clearly, we had a lot to say. We had a lot to get off our chest. We have a lot we're feeling right now. But I think the message is, while we're happy, don't want to seem like we're satisfied.
Right.
Don't want to shut the door on opportunity. We're going to continue to support this team as hard as we can. And if you thought it was tough before, it's only going to get tougher. This team has to win 8 wins to reach the mountaintop. So, with that in mind, buckle up once again and enjoy the ride. So, for all the fan groups I mentioned before, for Anna Knox out in Centerville, all of our Caps fans, whether you live in the District of Columbia, the state of Maryland, the Commonwealth of Virginia, or even outside the DMV, that last win was for each and every one of you, no matter how long you've been a fan. And again, I want to thank you all for listening and being loyal Caps fans. So with that, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that if your nose runs and your feet smell, you might just have been built upside down. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, ladies and gentlemen, let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Concord.
Hello, me again, Blue Liner with you. Just wanted to take a few seconds here to introduce this bonus material clip that I have. This, of course, is going to be the Penguins radio commentary from about 30 seconds before the winning goal to the end of their coverage, more or less. And, of course, it features the radio play-by-play man, Mike Lang. I thought it'd be neat to kind of have something from the enemy perspective, as it were. And, of course, were the adversary they were. First time we're going to be doing something like this. And I kind of felt like he and his color guy, whose name escapes me, unfortunately, have the proper amount of reverence and respect for the moment. So hope you would listen and enjoy when it comes by.
5 minutes and 15 seconds into the first overtime. Pass for Crosby at the blue line. Lost it. Here come the Capitals. Lead pass. Kuznetsov might have a chance. Walks in on goal. Shoots it. And is it in? It is. Kuznetsov has scored against Murray. And the Washington Capitals have won this game 2-1. And they will win the series against the Penguins as Evgeny Kuznetsov, coming right down the alley, gave a couple of moves, went to the forehand. He finishes, and the Caps have won it by the score of 2-1.
Well, this was not a great pass by Chris Letang to Sidney Crosby. It's too far ahead of him, Mikey. It comes off the stick of Sid, rolls into the cap zone. Alexander Ovechkin just throws it up to Kuznetsov, who anticipated that puck coming off of Crosby. And Letang can't hunt down Kuznetsov. And Kuznetsov makes a little dinky move where he goes to the forehand and then slides it so gingerly between the legs of Matt Murray for the overtime winner.
So the Caps win their fifth game against the Penguins in overtime play. And more importantly for them, they win the series, and they'll be the combatants against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference Final. And the Penguins' reign as Stanley Cup champions comes to an end. The traditional handshakes at center. Two clubs approaching one another. The coaches shaking hands in appreciation of what the other teams did. This was a terrific, was a great series and a great hockey game here tonight to conclude it. Unfortunately for the Penguins, they end up on the short end of it as Evgeny Kuznetsov, the Russian-born player, beats Matt Murray, and it finishes 2-1.
What a great hockey game. Great series, great game. And the better team won.
And Barry Trotz will get the monkey off his back as he goes to the finals for the Eastern Conference Championship. First time he's gotten past that second round. And Patrick Hornquist and Barry Trotz exchanged pleasantries. And Hornquist played for Barry Trotz for a long time in Nashville. Your final score, the Washington Capitals 2 and the Pittsburgh Penguins 1. The series has been completed, and the Caps win it 4-2.
I expect you to rock their world. Wipe them out, if that's what they choose. If you are ferocious in battle, remember to be magnanimous in victory.